and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Okay, I see some wonderful young faces back there, and I believe they're leaders. Board of Education, we have a presentation. Do you want them out there, or would you... Is it okay if the board stays here? It's okay? You're okay?
Yes, we're okay.
You're okay. Okay, so... you're going to do this, though?
We are.
No. If you're going to do this, I think we are. If you don't mind. So, Board of Education, if you don't mind. Gary, you're good, I think, and you're good, Tom. But we got a presentation from the middle school. So, welcome, Center Merchants Middle School.
Before we start, I'll just share, you might be wondering why we're all wearing blue, so I'll take the opportunity of a public audience to share that today, April 1st, is the first day of Autism Awareness Month. So in the school district, you may have seen these, your teachers or children wearing these shirts. They're still on sale for $12 each. You can get a flyer off the website, and all proceeds go to charity for Autism Speak. And we're wearing blue every Friday in the month of April in the district, so children and teachers alike. So we're here today to recognize four eighth grade students that you see in the back. But before we do, Mrs. Kuklinski, our AIS teacher, and Mrs. DeMayo Bridgewood, our art teacher at the middle school, thought that they would share with you a little bit about the project that they did along with the other eighth grade teachers. It was an interdisciplinary project, so that you have an understanding of why we're recognizing these wonderful students in the back.
First, I have to say a big thank you to Teresa Harchewski and the other 8th grade team, because this was not just me and Mrs. DeMayo. It was, you know, a real team effort that we put together for the kids, and I think it turned out tremendously well. I couldn't be prouder of the kids and what they learned and what they accomplished. So we wanted to share with you a little bit about the project and how it came to be and what they learned during that time. So when we started this project, it was actually my daughter who came home with this flyer from Mount Sinai, I think from a colleague of mine back in Mount Sinai, Carl O'Leary, and he said, "What does 1.6 million mean?" And my daughter, who's an eighth grader as well, said, "Wow, I don't really know, that's a big number." And so when we came back, I said, "What does 1.6 million mean to our AIS students?" And they had a hard time putting, you know, a real concrete number on it. And Mount Sinai's project was very similar. Based on all of the 1.6 million children that died during the Holocaust, we decided to collect all the bottles that are discarded every day in our school. And let me tell you, the boxes are filled again. We stopped this project about a month ago, maybe not even. We left the boxes, and I changed it. I changed the cardboard paper we had on it, and now it's going to another charity because we just collected so many. The bottles serve a purpose to kind of make it concrete for the children to see. It was a lot of people, more people than Center Merchants is bigger than their world. And so we put faces and names to the stories that they kept hearing. And they learned a tremendous amount while we were doing this. One of our biggest questions was why we should study the Holocaust. I'm sure you hear children all the time say, "Why do I have to learn that? That happened a long time ago, and I don't want to have to learn about history." And so we talked about why we were learning it, how it was going to make us better community citizens, and how we were going to be part of the community and do something good, not only for Center Merchants, but for our community and Long Island as a whole. And so that's why we study, one of the reasons we study social studies, and why we study topics such as the Holocaust. And I found this, and I thought it was very interesting, because many times the kids, this is more for older children, I can come back with them and say, "Well, this is exactly why we study it." But reading in social studies area promotes reading evaluation, synthesis, analysis, interpretation levels, critical thinking skills through writing, and analytical thinking. And I can tell you that all of the eighth grade students participated in all of those. Every single time we touched on a new topic, read a new chapter in the book, we analyzed, we thought, we were critical about our reading, and we read it sometimes more than once to make sure that we were actually getting the meaning. The literature that we used in this unit was the Diary of Anne Frank, which I'm sure you're familiar with as part of the new module system. The piece that I brought in AIS was The Boy on the Wooden Box, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but it's a memoir by Leon Lason, and he was the youngest Schindler to survive. The reason he was called The Boy on the Wooden Box is in order to reach the controls, he had to stand on a box. And Mr. Schindler, Oscar Schindler, was able to convince the Nazis that he was in fact an integral part of his factory. And then we also read Passage to Freedom, which is a Sugihara story of a Japanese ambassador to Lithuania who saved about 2,000 Jewish people himself by writing visas to Japan. And then we read lots of nonfiction, background knowledge. They were constantly, you know, reading to sort of build up all of the Tier 3 vocabulary that they needed. These are some of the students collecting bottles and our hands. So as we gathered a bottle, then we kept counting them, and every time we got five, we put up a hand. So my husband, who's here tonight, just said to me on the way here, "How many hands did you end up with?" And I said, "I'm not quite sure. We just kept adding hands." And we just kept adding hands and adding hands. And these are some of the kids. They would go around 10th period, and I would ask for volunteers. And actually, the kids that you're going to meet tonight, these students were, you know, always positive, always said, "Well, we'll go collect the bottles," or "Will they help me?" We made signs all over the school. And just so you know, the 6th, 7th graders also participated. They collected bottles in the room. Every day I have a young lady in 2nd period. She comes in her backpack and deposits 2 bottles into our box every single day. So it's wonderful. There's some of the bottles in my car. And here's, we collected 995 bottles in about a month. I came back from winter break and I said, "How do I engage these kids? How do I get them to want to read with me?" And I said, "You know, you're going to be reading The Diary of Anne Frank." And everybody got quiet and they started listening to me. And I said, "This is it. I've got it." And so out of this was born this little project. We donated $49.75 to the Holocaust Memorial and Tolerance Center in Nassau County. And recently as yesterday, I have very exciting news. They have offered to give us a grant to take our children to pay for the buses to take our children there. So they really, we're going to be their donor of the month. We're going on their website. They're very, very excited about this project. And now I'm going to turn it over to Mrs. DeMayo because she's going to explain her part of the project, and we're going to have the kids come up with their artwork.
Yeah. So right now we have the students, they each have a piece to give you kind of a sample of the piece that we had in the gallery that I created. I got a lot of the pieces. There was a book, it's called I Never Saw Another Butterfly, and it's a collection of artwork that's actually in a museum right now of children that lived through the Terezin concentration camp. So some of them survived, some of them did not. I have a lot of information on each piece of artwork that I shared with the students, and we learned if they perished in Auschwitz or if they actually made it out. We talked about the different art materials and how art actually served as a coping mechanism for these kids because they had no other way to express themselves and no one to express it to. So I set up an art gallery. I would talk to them about each piece. Each piece was numbered on the back, and they got a little handout about, you know, what kind of material. There was an art teacher, actually, at Terezin that would, she kind of, like, hoarded different materials, like newspaper, office ledger, different types of material for them to paint with, and she would secretly give them art lessons in order to help them just cope with what was going on. So some of the images are happy images, very young children. It was between 1942 and 1944, Terezin. And then we have some older children, actually, that they're holding up right now. 16, these survived, that one's not. But it's very interesting to actually, you know, show the students and talk to them about it and see their reaction to, like, oh my gosh, these were kids around my age, a little younger, you know, so they can relate to that. That's me just talking about one specific piece there. You know, talking to the kids. And I made myself available too if they wanted to come to me. I had a little description next to the artwork about what it was. And if, you know, hey, if you want to get more information from me, this is my room, come, you know where I am. I have every quarter I have different kids. So quarter 4 kids I'll have soon. So if they didn't know where I was and they had a question, they were, you know, free to come see me anytime.
That's it. So before we give the certificates to the students, I just want to share and thank both of you. And as you can see, it was really a team effort. The English teacher, Mrs. Rochesky, social studies teacher, Mr. Bulger, AIS, art, it was really a theme that we spread throughout the whole evening. So everybody kind of took their part in the project. So we will now like to congratulate these students. These four students really stood out to the teachers as students that were enthusiastic, helpful, passionate about the topic, always participating, and just really took what every child did and ran with it, and really stood out and above and beyond. So without further ado, I'll let you call their names.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Sam Fornick. Connor McMahon. Maya Westay.
Thank you so much. Okay, board, if you just want to stay seated, you can. I asked Ms. Perkins, not much has changed financially in the district, but I thought it was important for all of you and the public just to see a few slides, some of which you've already seen, but we thought it was important for you just to have that as you head into the break. So, Ms. Perkins?
Tonight we're going to be reviewing both the revenues and the expenditures proposed thus far for the 2015-16 school year. Okay. If you were at the last board meeting, I presented what we estimated the revenues to be for 2015-16. And as you can see, it's the same slide. There aren't any changes to the slide. There is an estimated revenue of $40+ million. And at the time I presented the revenues, there was an asterisk with the state aid because we weren't quite sure what the state aid numbers would come in at. At that time when we presented, it was only an estimate because we hadn't seen the state aid runs yet. We were hoping for a larger number for state aid, but in actuality, it didn't happen. This week, the legislators and the governor, they all got together, they agreed and once they agreed, I believe all the business officials and the superintendents, we were all waiting by our copy machines, we were all waiting, looking at our emails, waiting for the state aid runs. They did come in late Tuesday. We did an analysis, and when we compared the state aid runs that we received, it was a little over, it was about 2.69% increase in state aid, and we compared it to what we had estimated. And when we put our estimate together in preparing this slide, I, being the conservative one, wanted a lower number. Mr. Stewart, a little bit more aggressive than me, we took the middle of the road, and we came up with a 1.7% increase, which was equated to $11.4 million. When we looked at the state aid run, it came out to $11.4 million. Therefore, there's no change in the estimated revenue. And we were a little bit disappointed. If you looked at Newsday, and you looked at all the school districts, we were somewhat on the bottom. There were a lot of districts that had a larger percentage increase, but it is what it is. Okay. You'll see that there's a reduction in tuition. I discussed last presentation. It has to do with a decrease in enrollment, not at East Meriches, but Native American, also special education enrollment, and an adjustment in tuition fees. There is a decrease in interest due to the interest rates, and we're bringing it more into alignment with what we're actually receiving. And we have a health contract, so income, reserves. The reserves, we're applying the employment retirement contribution reserve, and applied fund balance, you'll see that there's a decrease of $200,000. At the, again, last presentation, Mr. Stewart was discussing the applied fund balance, that back in 2011-12, we were applying $2.1 million. The following year, we applied $2.1 year in 2013-14, we applied $1.4 million. 14-15, we applied $1.4 million. And this year, at this point, we're estimating that we'll be applying $1.2 million. So the board is making a concerted effort to bring the revenues and expenditures more in alignment and rely less on applied fund balance. Tax levy, again, last presentation, I had a tax cap presentation, the infamous tax cap presentation, and it came in at, our tax cap came in at 4.21%. At this point, the Board of Education is going to apply a 1.3% increase to the tax levy. So overall, budget to budget, in revenue, there is a decrease of a little under $412,000, or about 1% decrease in revenue. Okay. The next component is your expenditures. The proposed expenditures for 2015-16 is $40,281,271. And you can see a budget to budget from comparison to 2014-15, there's an actual decrease in our budget of a little over $205,000, which represents about a 0.5% decrease. And I believe since I've been here, this is the first time I've ever actually seen a decrease in the budget, and I think it's really good. The budget is made up of several components. You could look at it different ways. Tonight we're looking at the different, what we call objects, things that make up the budget, such as salaries. The February 11th presentation, there was a presentation that I had given with regards to salaries and employee benefits. So you see that salaries make up close to $21 million of the $40 million budget. Then we have equipment, transportation. Transportation is to transportation to our schools, to private schools, and to parochial schools, and also to BOCES schools. We have a contractual increase of $163,000. Contractual increases, that includes your utilities, it includes your legal fees, it includes your auditing fees, all your consulting fees, that's all under contractual. Supplies includes your supplies for your grounds, your buildings, all your custodial supplies, and all the instructional supplies. Tuition. Tuition is typically it's based on IEPs, and so there is a decrease in that area. Textbooks and workbooks. There's a decrease in that number, and then BOCES. BOCES. What makes up the BOCES expenditures, that would include we pay administrative and capital fees. We're part of the BOCES, we're part of a COSER, and that's what we pay. That's included under BOCES. Any of your special ed tuition, your occupational education tuition, any instructional services are included under BOCES. And did I say occupational ed? It's also summer program. That's also included under BOCES. Then you have your debt service. And your debt service, we have right now, we have the 2001 bond still outstanding. We have our energy performance, and we have the cafeteria bond outstanding. And that makes up the debt service. And then employee benefits, there's a decrease in employee benefits, and that's attributed to a decrease in the contribution rate for TRS and for ERS, and offset by an increase in health insurance. And the last, transfer to other funds, that's the district's contribution for the summer special ed program. The state pays 80%, we pay 20%, so that's what we budget for that line. So again, overall, the proposed budget at this point in time is $40,281,271, decrease of $205,000, and a percentage decrease of 0.5%. So, if you look at now both of the lines together, I have your estimated revenue. You have the estimated revenue of $40,070,075, and your proposed expenditures of $40,281,000. And you'll see by comparing the revenue and the expense, we have a shortfall or a gap of $206,605. Now, before I was talking about there was a reduction in revenue of $411,732. And a decrease in the budget of $205,127, and you're probably thinking, well, that's $411, that's $205, that doesn't make up $206,000. But when you look at revenue, if there's a reduction instead of a negative, when you see a reduction in the budget, it's a positive. So if you have a negative and a positive, it equals $206,000.
And Board, you've seen the shortfall in my updates on Friday, I think, for the last couple months, each month kind of updating you. So we come to the number of 206,000, and we will give you recommendations from the administration. I do not believe anybody believes on the board, unless I'm mistaken, that we want to change the tax levy from the 1.3 you have. That would be one obvious way. If you raise the tax levy, that would change that number. The other idea or thought, we're not supporting it as an administration, would be to take from your savings, take from your surplus. What we have done in the last 4 or 5 years have taken it from a 2.1 million all the way down to where we are now to a 1.2. That was our goal. We did not want to continue to have to save here to pay for the following year and push that forward. We don't like doing that, Carol and I. We want to keep pushing that down. We plan to even drop it down further next time. Also, additional things might happen. So it is a little bit of a fluid number. If all of a sudden somebody comes into today and says, well, I want to retire, well, that would change that number there. Now, we all know the window of opportunity is April 1st for somebody who wants the incentive from the teachers' union. But anybody who's past that window or for any other unit might want to leave, can leave right up to the last day of school. So that is a fluid number. That could change as well. Our recommendation as administration is going to be make additional cuts. We think it's important to balance our expenses with our revenue. This is the place we wanted to get to several years ago. The cuts started at 2.7 million my first year here, all the way till today. So our recommendation is just to allow us to continue what we're doing, hopefully get a little, you know, a better situation than 206. The one thing you still have to talk about is the five-year maintenance. We heard Mr. Crowell gave that wonderful presentation last week and talked about that was not in the budget. That was his ask of the board for additional. So you have to kind of take that into consideration as well, and anything else that's going on now in the district. But for the most part, I just want to be clear from the administration standpoint, we want to continue to cut. We don't want to take out of savings. We don't think you should raise the tax levy. We believe this is an incredible budget. To go budget to budget of a negative $205,000, I know it's never been since I've been here, and Carol's been here longer than I am in the history of Santa Mariches, but you know, we thought last year was a great budget because the community ended up seeing a 0%. I would feel, and I don't know if Carol should say that, but I feel like this one might be second to none, in my opinion. So that's our plan moving forward. We're going to be back in April, I think the 22nd, to continue. But any questions from the board first, to Carol or myself? I'll start with the board. Any questions? It's fun. That's good, Gary. I don't know. Public, and if you want to ask any questions, I think as long as the board doesn't mind that, feel free. If not, then we're ready to go to our meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
You get that till this raises up. Right. That does. There you go.
Is this your stuff or not?
Just want to take a moment to say, I thought the presentation for the Memory of Millions tonight was a great presentation and really well put together and great learning opportunity. I know that many of the people that were involved with that have left, but it was really a nice presentation, a nice learning opportunity. Questions and comments regarding tonight's agenda only. Does anybody have any questions or comments regarding tonight's agenda only? It is a contract agreement where the contract is being extended. No increase in salary, increase in number of vacation days.
Ms. Mitchell, it's identical to the one last week. I don't know if you asked or who asked. It was Mr. Naffi. Yeah, identical.
Any other questions on the agenda tonight? Yes.
Yeah, I'm related to the presentation.
You just say your name because I think we're recording. We're recording.
Hi, Marcus. Yes, we are recording. Hi, Marcus.
So it's kind of related to the presentation that we heard about last week. We heard about the tax, so-called tax cap number, 2% number, and what that actually works out to. I don't remember learning this previously, but actually that tax cap number includes an adjustment for inflation, the consumer price index, right?
Yes, it does.
Right. So that whatever that number works out to, that already has inflation built in. So, for instance, let's say this year inflation or CPI is 1%,
right. And
we've just seen that the budget or the tax levy is increasing by 1.3%. So right. Essentially the difference there is 0.3% in constant dollars, in real dollars, right? So 0.3% is the extent of the tax levy increase in this example I'm giving. And I think that's quite impressive, and I think that's a very important thing for the community here. And I think that the board should take credit for that, and people should be made aware of it in those terms, because then I think it really stands out quite a bit more. To me, I don't know if it's been stated that way in the past, if I've missed it.
We're
planning to put it that way in the newsletter and the information that goes on the website. I think that's important for the community to hear.
No, that's appreciated. I believe thank you very much. I think that the administration has done a great job in really trying to tighten the belt and really look at everything. You know, we talked a lot about at the beginning, kind of going bottom up and looking at every program and really bringing everything together. I mean, we did have some help with TRS-ERS this year, in fairness, as a reduction. But, you know, one of the stated board goals at the beginning of the year was to keep the tax levy at a 1.5% increase or less. And the reason we went with 1.3 was because we voted through the veterans exemption, which we all believed was a unanimous vote, was absolutely the right thing to do. But we also believed that having that result in a higher than 1.5% levy kind of would cause concern in the community. So I think administration's done a great job in really trying to look bottom up. I don't know if anybody else has anything to say. Thank you. Anybody else have any questions? Okay, great. Pat, you want to item 5?
We have a motion to accept the minutes of March 19th.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the retirement of William Wegener.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following employee to return to service.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following employee for a leave of absence, which is in compliance with the terms and conditions of the Santa Merges FMLA policy.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves that pursuant to the CMTA Article 36 mentoring program, the following teacher who served as a mentor teacher to our new teachers during the 2012-13 school year be awarded the following credit for her service.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education appoints the following individuals as substitutes for the 2014-2015 school year as follows.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
The district recently advertised for candidates to fill various teacher and support staff vacancies for 2014-15. Candidates were interviewed by committees, building principals, and or the superintendent. Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following appointments.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following contracts in accordance with the terms and conditions of the contracts, as well as at the established cost contained in said contract.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Do you want me to?
No, you don't have to read that whole, the whole
number
thing.
Number 17. Not 13. Number 13.
Okay.
Have
a motion.
Motion.
Motion to approve item 13, Joint Municipal Cooperative Bidding Program Resolution 9. Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves budget transfers.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the treasurer's report for the month of February 2015.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the student activity treasurer's report for the middle school and the high school for the month of February 2015.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education accepts the following donation.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Tote.
Yeah. Motion. Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Thank you very much, Mr. Tote.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves approximately 36 students and 6 chaperones to attend the foreign language education trip to Paris, France, and Barcelona, Spain from April 21st, 2016 through April 28th, 2016.
Are we going to do them all, or do you want to just motion on the 3 trips for on item 18? That might be the easiest. We have 3 separate motions.
That's fine.
Motion. For the 3 trips on item 18?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education conducts a third reading of the following policy and subsequently moves to adopt the policy.
Discussion?
I'd just like to have this tabled for tonight until I can get with Mr. Caswell to get language in there that he's comfortable with.
I have no problem. Gary, I just want to make one statement, and maybe I can go either direction. It's up to the board, actually, what you want to do. Right now, there's verbiage in there from the law firm, right? And my feeling is that right now, you and Mr. Caswell are going to add additional stuff to this, which is well and good. If you accept this tonight, we can bring it right back to the next board meeting, put it on again. But then the things that were given to us already by the lawyers will be approved, and we'll be good to go. So I would ask that maybe you pass it, and I'll bring it right back as it is right now.
If you bring it right back,
I'll bring it right
I'll
back.
I'll make a motion.
Motion.
I'm going to go through with the
I promise.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. Great. Questions or comments from the committee on items not on the agenda tonight?
Josh, wait, can we go back to number 6 for 1 second?
Sure.
The retirement of William Wagner. He was a teacher of mine. He was an amazing teacher of mine. Not just a band teacher, but a place that, you know, his office, his room was a place that was always welcome for all students. So I really just want to take a minute, and that's a big loss for our school, and so I really want to acknowledge that. He's a phenomenal teacher. And the other thing I wanted to mention, I'm always impressed when I can read, we have volunteers volunteering to offering their services to our sports program. I appreciate that also, that people are willing to do that and give back to our school that way. So thank you to those people also.
Absolutely. Thank you. Questions and comments on items not on the agenda tonight?
Yes, I do.
Board members, faculty, and parents.
Can you say your name, please?
My name is Lizette Stafford.
Okay, just so you know, we're recording.
That's not yes, right. That's not a problem. Board members, faculty, teachers, and parents. I'm here today to address an issue regarding my daughter's AP studio art class. Ms. Janice Graff was my daughter's Kate Carey's AP instructor for this class. Ms. Graff has been the only teacher at Santa Mauritius High School to teach AP art and have her curriculum approved by the college board. After attending the AP studio workshop, instructors, according to the website, must do the following. Identify the skills and knowledge that the exam will assess and identify the tasks and materials for which students might need more preparation. Draft a syllabus that meets the curricular requirements for the course. Make equitable access a guiding principle in designing instruction. In June of 2014, when Carrie was making her schedule under the guidance of Ms. Lisa Hessian, there was a conflict with another AP class that would make her unable to take AP art. As top of her class, both Carrie and Ms. Hessian agreed that it was extremely important for her to take this class because it was a stress-relieving outlet for Carrie, who would be spending her senior year taking many other rigorous AP courses and going through college application process. And as we've seen in the Holocaust presentation that was provided to us earlier, art definitely is an outlet for people under stress. Excuse me. Ms. Graff agreed to teach AP Studio Art as an independent study during fourth period, her lunch period, so that Carrie would be able to fit it into her schedule. Ms. Hessian and Ms. Ngoli, who is the AP coordinator, both approved for this fourth period class for Carrie's senior year. My daughter has been working extremely hard with Ms. Graff since June on her portfolio, and three quarters into her senior year is told by Ms. Hessian, Mr. Caswell, and Mr. Stewart that the class no longer exists. I was not notified at any point by the school that all of this was occurring and was unaware until my daughter came to me upset and distressed over the situation. Carrie went to retrieve her backpack from Ms. Graff's classroom since she was no longer allowed to be there and overheard Mr. Stewart raising his voice to Ms. Graff in an intimidating and disrespectful manner. After overhearing this, the next day, my daughter is then brought into a room with Mr. Stewart, the man she just heard bullying the teacher she looks up to, and is expected to discuss the issue without her mother present or even notified. At this meeting, Mr. Stewart also offers to call the colleges my daughter has applied to. After meeting with Ms. Hessian last Friday, I met with Mr. Caswell this Monday afternoon. I was told a grievance had been filed by Ms. Graff on February 25th for not being paid an extra AP class, as per her contract, she is entitled to additional pay for this class, as she has been teaching my daughter since September. My daughter has become the victim due to what Mr. Caswell called a personnel issue. A grudge match between a teacher and the administration should not affect my daughter's last quarter of her high school in her senior year. Ms. Hessian's responses to my questions was that she is just told what to do. My meeting with Mr. Caswell also resulted in insufficient answers to my questions. I was told we cancel AP classes all the time. And I don't understand why you were not contacted. I have been a part of this community for over 18 years. My oldest son is 31 and a police officer. Ms. Graff has taught all three of my children. I'm appalled by the way this situation was handled and how it has negatively affected my daughter, who is also salutatorian of the class. We constantly hear that every decision made by the board has been at the best interest of student at heart. How exactly does taking Carrie out of an AP class at the end of the year benefit her? This action also possibly affects her GPA and rank. If my daughter is not immediately returned to her AP class to finish her assignments with Ms. Graff, who is the only teacher in the district certified to do so, I will have no choice but to bring further attention to this matter by contacting the New York State Board of Education in Albany, Mario Cuomo, and the media. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments on items not on the agenda tonight?
Do you want to make it clear that there is an AP clause?
No.
Okay.
No need. Great. Dates to remember, there'll be a special meeting on April 13th, 2015 at 5:30 at the Administration Building. The board will open the meeting and then immediately entertain a motion to convene into executive session to discuss a specific personnel matter. And the next Board of Education meeting will be on April 22nd, 2015 at 7:30 in the high school library. Motion to adjourn to executive session for the following purposes: to discuss discussions regarding proposed pending or current litigation, collective negotiations under the Taylor Law with the CMPA, medical, financial, or credit history of any person or corporation, or matters leading to the appointment, promotion, demotion, discipline, or termination of a particular person or corporation, other matters the disclosure of which would result in an unwarranted invasion of personal privacy, with the preparation, grading, or administration of examinations. Motion.
Motion.
Second. All in favor? Yes, motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much.